Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 23 to chapter 5, verse 9. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord and the One of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates, but not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for people like Deborah, people like Paul, who stood up and chose to lead when others were afraid. Help us, God, to be like them, to be courageous, not because of our own strength, but because of yours. Help us to hear your word for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So through the spring, we've been focusing on different people who followed Jesus, followed God, and looking for what we can learn from them. And the person we're watching today is Deborah. But first, I want to share two stories with you. One is from my trip when I was away in Wolfville. It was my very last day. The next morning, we were leaving for the airport, And I had suggested the day before that maybe some of my classmates might want to go out for dinner to celebrate the end of classes, but people were, I guess, feeling tired, wanting to pack, and so I ended up having dinner alone. And I felt a little disappointed about that, but I got to go and try this lovely Korean restaurant. Never know what you're going to find in the middle of small town Nova Scotia, but wonderful Korean food as well as sushi. And so I enjoyed a lovely meal. And then sort of at the end of my meal, my waiter had brought the check, and I don't know what made me do it, but I started having a conversation with him. And he started telling me all of a sudden, I just told him I was a student, asked him if he was the same, and all of a sudden he starts telling me about how he had gone away to school, but then he didn't think he was in the right program, and so he'd gone to part-time, and he really wanted to start a business, but he didn't know what kind of business, and he was trying to figure out what it is that he wanted to do. And he had mentioned that he also went to church, that they had a church they'd started in Halifax before they moved to Wolfville. They continued to go there as a family. He played in the worship band. And I said, you know, could I pray for you? Not something I have done very often, I will tell you, in a restaurant. And he kind of looked at me and he says, okay. And so we prayed together that God would make it clear over this summer about what he is being called to do. And then off we went. Off I went. And I don't know if that prayer made a difference to him, but it made a difference to me. I walked out of that restaurant feeling a little bit different, a little bit more courageous, a little surprised that I did what I did. But through God's grace, I was ready for that unexpected conversation. This week, we got another surprise. So we've been talking about refugees this morning, and Alois this week got a letter reminding him that he had been deported, as if we could forget, and that he is not allowed to come back into Canada without authorization to re-enter, and that he has to write a letter pleading his case as to why they should let him back in when he was already deported. Now, we know Alois's story. We know that he was deported because of an administrative technicality more than anything else, that his story was one of bad timing and poor advice and people who took advantage of him. They should know that from his story, but they don't, it seems. They want us to tell it all over again. And they've also asked for money to cover his flight that they paid for him to leave Canada. And of course, because there's always fees, an administrative fee, for them to consider this authorization. We really thought that if this was going to be an issue, it would come up sooner through all the other things that Alois has done. But apparently, until you're about to be allowed back into the country, they won't tell you that maybe you might not be allowed back into the country. And I'll tell you, Sharon was ready. Within minutes, she had everybody who needed to know about it within a day. She had a draft of a letter that could go from Alois. She's been talking to everybody she can talk to. And she mobilized us all and got us going. As unexpected as it was, in that moment, Sharon was ready for what came, and she helped us prepare. I tell these stories because we are currently, at least my experience, is we're living in a world where nothing feels like it's going to be as expected. We live in a world with conflicts that are rising, with this growing sense of divide between people, never quite knowing with the volatility of various world leaders, not the least of which the one to the south, never knowing what's going to happen and what might affect us. And as Christians, we're left with this maybe sense sometimes of where is God? Where is God in this moment? What are we being called to do? And we might ask ourselves, what unexpected moment is God preparing us for? And if we want to answer that question, and I think it's a worthwhile question to answer, we can look at some of these stories in the Bible, and I think Deborah's is a really interesting one. So the book of Judges is a series of cycles. It's a turbulent time, not unlike our own. It's a violent time, full of conflict. And Israel goes through these cycles. They do evil in the eyes of the Lord. God sends somebody to punish them. They are oppressed. They cry out to God in their pain. God feels compassion for them, and God raises up a leader who then leads them out of this oppression. But it's a spiraling cycle. And so every time a new leader rises up, they're a little less strong. They do a little more that's suspect, until eventually the judges are just not cutting it, and that leads into the time of the kings for Israel. But we're still fairly early in the cycle. And the Israelites have done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and the instrument of discipline this time is Jabin, king of the Canaanites. And God has risen up a prophet named Deborah. And Deborah would hold court, so the prophets, the judges, they would hold court, sort of. And I love this, Deborah held court under a palm tree. She would sit under the palm tree and people would come to them with their problems and she would help to solve them. And God sends Deborah to a man named Barak, who is a military leader. And she says, because God has heard the cries of the Israelites and has decided to save them, and she says to Barak, "Barak, you are being sent to defeat the Canaanites, to defeat Jabin." And Barak is nervous, and Barak says, "I'm only going if you go. I know you've got the favor of God. I don't know if I have the favor of God. So you have to come with me if we're going to go." And Deborah says, "That's fine. I'll come with you. But because you were not courageous, a woman is going to get credit for killing the opposing general instead of you." And sure enough, a woman named Jael, who was mentioned in the reading that we heard, kills Sisera, who is the leader of the opposing army. She's not even an Israelite. She's a Kenite who happens to have a tent. As he goes by, she invites him in, and for whatever reason, we're not told why, she kills him. And that sort of demoralizes the army and allows Israel to have their victory. And what Sharon read was the result of that. So if you want to read all of chapter 4, you can get all the gory details, and some of them are gory. But what we hear is the result, which is that they won. And then the beginning of Deborah's song, which is one of the oldest forms of poetry we have written down within the Hebrew faith, which means some of it's a little weird. And we're not going to try and understand exactly what all the words and phrases mean, because that would take a whole other day. But Deborah is giving praise to God for the way God has shown up when Israel needed their help. And she says, "Thank you for three things." She says, "Thank you that the people willingly offered themselves." She says, "Thank you that God showed up." And they knew that God showed up because the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down waters, and the mountains quaked. There was this physical sign of God's presence. And she says, "Thank you, God, for coming." And then it also says God chose new leaders. Those who were leading at the time were not up to the task. And so God chose new ones, like Barak, for all his faults, and like Deborah, in order to lead Israel to a new time. And the result of that, and we often miss the results because they're very short, right? Times of peace are really quite uninteresting from a historical perspective. We love to live in times of peace, but historians don't like to write a whole lot about times of peace because not a lot happens. So there's a single line at the end of that chapter. They lived in peace for 40 years. As long as Deborah was alive, they lived in peace and they followed God. Of course, another cycle comes in the next chapter and we read all about Gideon, and he's a whole nother matter. God showed up and the people were ready for the unexpected. They may not all have been super enthusiastic about it, but they were ready, and they went forward, and God came. We've done that here at St. Stephen's too. Thinking about this theme of refugees, I think about back in the, I don't know the exact year, but the year that Graham Kennedy carried a canoe up the middle of the aisle and talked about the people in Vietnam who were fleeing persecution there and were looking to come to Canada. And St. Stephen's, maybe not ready for the canoe up the aisle, still showed up and sponsored a family to come to Ottawa. When Alois and his sister showed up at these doors so many years ago, we were ready to greet them, to make them feel welcome, to help Alois as best as we could in his story, and to continue through the years. And I'll tell you, when I got here in 2017, sponsoring Alois and his family to come to Canada was the last thing on anybody's minds. And yet somehow, God spoke, and we were ready, and miraculously, with the help of many people in the wider community, we raised $60,000 so that they could come. And we're still waiting. That promise is still in the process of being fulfilled. But God showed up, and we were ready. And I think this is what God is calling us to do now in this time of turbulence. We don't know what would come next. I would love to know the plan. I would love to be able to tell you, here's where we're going to be 5 years from now. I already know. God gave me a vision. But I'm not gifted with that gift. What I do know is God shows us the next step. And he invites us to be ready, to be looking for where God is at work. And when God says, here I am, we say, let's go with you. We're going to see if this dinner is one of those ways. I know it's been on Lyra's heart for a long time, and she had the courage to say, I think this is important. I think God might be in this, having meals with our neighbors and connecting through our differences. We're going to see. We're going to experiment. We're going to take these steps. But here is what I know. God is the God of the unexpected. Did you hear what Paul said to the Corinthians? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. My friends, let us be open to God's Spirit in our day-to-day walks, in our life as a church. Because while we don't know what is coming, we know it is good, and we know that God will show us step by step where to go. Let us pray. Gracious God, we want our future to be in our own hands, but the reality is it is in yours. That doesn't mean we sit by and do nothing. It means we trust you, and we are prepared to act when you speak. God, we think we've heard you in this desire to create neighbors who are friends, to connect people who are lonely, put together people who think differently, who see the world differently, and to show that there can be friendship there. God, we thank you for those who step forward in courage. Help us to continue to follow you. May people feel welcome. May we know what step comes next. May we all do it for your glory, and in your name we pray. Amen.